Now, former Vice President Joe Biden is officially the Democratic nominee for president after the roll call vote at the virtual party convention last night. Democratic leaders have been working to unify the party since primary season and invited progressives, moderates, and even some Republicans to speak at this week's convention. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said last night that unity is key for the party to win back the White House and control of Congress.
Democrats must take back the Senate. We will stay united from Sanders and Warren to Manchin and Warner. And with our unity, we will bring bold and dramatic change to our country.
Some Wisconsin leaders like Congressional Representative Gwen Moore and Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes have spoken so far during the convention. Governor Tony Evers scheduled to speak tonight. But it is a far cry from the event that was once expected to bring more than 50,000 people to Milwaukee. David Cannon is a professor and chair of the Political Science Department at UW-Madison. David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Good to be with you.
Well, at one point early in the primary campaign, David, people were talking about a contested convention. That's not happening. What do you think of this focus from so many on unity in the Democratic Party?
Well, it seems to be a pretty effective message right now that they are doing two different things to try to achieve that party unity. One, you alluded to, of inviting a broad range of speakers from, you know, Bernie Sanders on the left, who gave a much stronger appeal, I think, for unity this time around than he did 4 years ago. To those more in the center, and even, as you mentioned, on the Republican side. And I thought two of the more effective appeals along those lines were from John Kasich, the former, you know, Republican governor of Ohio and candidate for the presidency himself, and then Cindy McCain, who talked about the long friendship of John McCain and Joe Biden. And this is a fairly direct appeal to people who, you know, want politicians who are willing to work with each other, not always, you know, be locked in such partisan battle the way it seems we are today. And so I thought both the Kasich and McCain overtures were pretty effective. And then to have Sanders, you know, making that very strong appeal to the progressive base of the party to say, you know, this is really a lot at stake here, which brings me to the second point then that is also, I think, at the core of this appeal for party unity, and that is keeping focus on Donald Trump and how there's so much at stake here. You heard, you know, so many speakers say that this is the most important election of your life. A very effective speech two nights ago from Michelle Obama saying just explicitly, you know, vote like your life depends on it was her most memorable line, I think, from that speech. And so focusing on the fact that, you know, the party really needs to defeat Donald Trump, and as Chuck Schumer said in the clip you had, you know, needs to retake control of the Senate. It's that focus, I think, that's bringing the party together of what can, you know, span a pretty big ideological spread in the Democratic Party, really is being pulled together, I think, by that focus on defeating Donald Trump.
I want to talk about two different types of voters, maybe real, maybe hypothetical in one case. First, Democrats concerned that there were Bernie Sanders supporters in 2016 who voted for somebody other than Hillary Clinton, either for Donald Trump or a third party candidate or for nobody. Are they worried about, are you expecting to see something like that happen again?
Well, I mean, I think that's always a concern for the Democratic Party. I think that because this argument that so much is at stake this time around, I think that's less of a concern this year than it was 4 years ago. And I think you saw that most explicitly in Bernie Sanders' speech, you know, because he had a fairly, you know, tepid endorsement of Hillary Clinton 4 years ago. And it was clear that he was, you know, kind of bruised by that campaign. And his supporters were more than bruised. They were pretty unhappy with the way that went. And so I think that there are a lot of Sanders supporters who did, as you say, either sit it out or perhaps voted for Jill Stein or somebody else. I think that's less likely to happen this time around because now Sanders and others on the left have made the case that there's a lot at stake now, and I think that's pretty clear to everyone.
And on the other hand, bringing in John Kasich, Cindy McCain, Colin Powell, and so on is appealing to, I guess, a hypothetical group of voters, Republicans or former Republicans who don't like Donald Trump. We know that there are prominent thinkers here in Wisconsin, Charlie Sykes among them, who are making a lot of noise along those lines. Are there actual voters, though, who can be appealed to in a successful way?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I've feel sort of less confident saying there that, you know, that that is a significant group of voters. I mean, you have the Lincoln Project that has these clever ads that have been really, you know, digging at Trump and, you know, trying to appeal to those, the never Trumpers. But in terms of actually appealing to, you know, Trump supporters who may be on the fence, some of those efforts, it's not clear they're paying off that much at this point. On the other hand, you know, Trump's numbers in terms of his approval ratings among Republicans are down a little bit, but still at you know, very strong levels historically.
Talking to David Cannon, professor and chair of political science at UW-Madison, looking at this week's Democratic National Convention, sort of in Milwaukee, a little bit of Wisconsin love, not what people expected originally. Want to give a listen to Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes talking during the roll call last night.
We know that we build a better future for our nation by channeling Wisconsin's legacy as the birthplace of the labor and the progressive movement and uniting around a bold, inclusive agenda that uplifts every community.
Part of the reason for picking Milwaukee, David, was that Wisconsin was a swing state that swung the other way last time. Is there enough Wisconsin love here going on to appeal to the state?
Well, yeah, it is too bad, certainly, for Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin, the way this worked out, that, you know, we were going to have 50,000 people here for the convention. It would have been a huge boost to the local economy, certainly, and it would have, you know, allowed the party to, you know, showcase all of their arguments, you know, in a battleground state that's going to be critical for Joe Biden this time around. So clearly that's a loss for the Biden campaign, for the Democratic Party generally, and obviously for the city of Milwaukee itself. So it's unfortunate it worked out that way, but I think there really was no choice. And there's no way they could have had anything close to 50,000 people, you know, assembling in Milwaukee for the convention. So for public health reasons, they really had to make that call.
And we're seeing counter-programming. President Trump in Oshkosh this week, Vice President Pence in Darien today. I think Eric Trump was in the state this week. They are trying to make the case that they're going to come here in person and try to re-earn Wisconsin this time around.
Yeah, they absolutely are a presence in the state the way the Biden campaign really has not been doing any of these, you know, in-person rallies at this point. And it's not clear if they are going to change that approach at all moving forward. A lot of people criticized Hillary Clinton 4 years ago for not ever showing up in Wisconsin and kind of taking the state for granted. And indeed, every poll from Labor Day to Election Day, except for one, had her ahead in Wisconsin. So I think they thought they had Wisconsin locked up. And so obviously that didn't work out as planned. And so I'm sure there are going to be people in the Biden camp who, you know, don't want to repeat that mistake. On the other hand, it's not, 2020 is not like 2016 in terms of these, you know, big, huge rallies. It's just not going to be happening this time around. It's just not safe to have 20,000 people in an arena or, you know, 40,000 people outside at a rally. It's just a different environment. So we'll see if Biden ends up doing any in-person campaigning at all in this election, or if it's going to be conducted more remotely this time around.
Of course, underlying all these decisions is COVID-19. Are you hearing Democrats make the case that, hey, we've got this disease that this year, just part of this year, has killed over, 170,000 people now? Are they making the case that this is under President Trump's watch?
Well, absolutely. And that's clearly the argument that they're making in terms of, you know, they're the more responsible party here in terms of how, you know, state governors have been responding to this, and the failure of the United States compared to most other Western countries. You know, we have not fared as well as most countries in terms of our response. And so they are trying anyway to lay this at the feet of President Trump.
David, thanks a lot for joining us again today.
Okay, very good. Talk to you later.
David Cannon is a professor and chair of political science at UW-Madison. He was with us for a check-in on the Democratic National Convention, which started on Monday, wraps up on Thursday.